hand together a minute. Worship Him. Amen. He is all of that. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's everything they told me and more. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is all of that. Amen. Waymaker. Hallelujah. He's a storm stiller. Amen. He's a mountain mover. He is a mighty God. Amen. You've never met an obstacle God couldn't lead you through, under, around, open a door, break through a window. Amen. To get you where God wants you to go, there's nobody that's ever found an obstacle that can prevent you from living for God. Not one single obstacle. There's nothing, amen, that's able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor spiritual wickedness in high places shall be able to separate us. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you, shake their hand and say, there's nothing can separate you. Amen. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand while you're standing there. Tell them, man, you look good in church. Say it like you mean it. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to have you in church. Happy New Year. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I've got a little bit of a reading to do as I'm going to open scriptures. Amen. But don't you feel awesome being in church the first Sunday of the year? Let's do it right. Amen. Let's have revival this year. Let's have a move of God. Let's see healings and miracles and signs and wonders. Amen. Life change. Hallelujah. Let's have revival. Amen. I believe in revival. I believe in new birth. I believe in new life. I believe you can get up new. I believe you can come to church old and come back new. Amen. Changed. I believe in a church service can change you forever. A touch of God can change you. Don't tell the leper that he can't be changed. Tell the blind man that he can't be changed. Tell the little boy that was dead on a bier, he can't be changed. Amen. He's going to have to face death and be put in the grave, and there's no hope for him. Tell his mama, amen, because Jesus rose him from the dead, and I believe God changes things in our lives. If we believe and we let God do the change that God wants to do. Now listen, let's be real clear. If you don't want to change, you want all that God's got, but you don't want to give up all that the devil's given you. You got to give up what the devil gave you to get what God's got for you. You can't hold them both in your hands. Amen. You got to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you and run the race with patience. So you have a responsibility yourself to run the race. You got to pick up one foot after the other and move forward. That's the way you run. Anybody in the room a really great runner? Anybody on the track team? Daniel used to be on the track team. Did you really used to be on the track team? Amen. Then next time I have service, I'm going to have you just run around the whole time I'm preaching. Just run and a little help from the backup back there. Amen. You used to run? Really? Wow. Never knew that. You learned something new. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I love this verse. Just in case you were ever wondering if I like this verse or not, that big question was in your mind. I think this is a very powerful verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Some people are afraid of death. The Bible deals with death extensively. Amen. But this is a good death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we just learned today's lesson was on Jonah. Did everybody take a class, do class on Jonah? Was all the Sunday school classes on Jonah? I know the adults were, the hyphen was the youth. Did y'all do Jonah? Downstairs, did y'all do Jonah? We did Jonah. We did Jonah throughout the building. Man, there's so much in Jonah that mirrors Christ. There's so much in Jonah that mirrors Christ. Do you know Jonah was thrown out of the boat to save his companions? Do you realize Jesus was thrown off the earth from living in order to save mankind that threw him off the boat? Do you know he spent 3 days in the deep? Could it be, this doesn't apply to Jesus, but could it be that God knew Jonah was going to run? And the only reason he picked Jonah to be the prophet is because he knew he would run. And he knew that he had a solution for him, that he was going to put him in the belly of a great fish for 3 days because he was going to mirror Jesus Christ. He was an example of who Jesus Christ was going to be. Do you think Jonah knew that? Jonah had no clue what God's ultimate story was going to be. What if the life that you're living, amen, God actually has a hand in it, and he's waiting on you, amen, to either turn around or get thrown out of the boat so you can turn your life around and he can use your truth, your story, your example, amen, to see other people saved and living for God. And you don't even realize that God's at work in your life. How many of us in the room came to God and had no idea that God was actually working on us long before we ever came to the church, long before we ever went to an altar, long before we ever got baptized? God had a plan in place, and only by looking back into your past do you see God's plan in your life. Amen. And I believe that for everybody in the room. I believe everybody in the room, God's got a purpose for it. So I got to finish reading my scripture. Otherwise, I'd just start preaching. By the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in new life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, so if you've been buried in baptism in his name, you've been buried in the likeness of Christ. Let me just say, Jesus died and was buried, and you need to die to your old man, and you need to be buried in Jesus' name. He's the one that came, lived for us, preached, died for us. His blood covers our sin, and you need to be buried in his name. It says it right here. Amen. We've been planted together. What if you've not been planted together with Christ? I need a together. David, come help me. Be together. Okay? Get baptized. How about this? Once you get dead, it says that we need to be buried like he was buried. How are you going to walk in new life if you're not going to match the burial? If you don't want to get buried, you don't want to walk the new life. It's very simple. If you're not willing to be buried, you're not willing to walk in newness of life. The only way to accomplish the will of God in your life is to be buried in His name. So, you're wondering what to do now. What's the scripture say? So you can rise and walk in newness of life. The Bible's not even complicated. People make it so complicated. It's not complicated. You need to die, and after you die, they don't leave you laying around. Someday, if I pass away before my wife, I promise you, I've seen a few things in my lifetime. I've seen mummies. I've seen people mummified. In some places, they lay people out and put a glass casket on so everybody walks by. And there are people that have been dead for years, and they're laying mummified in a glass. I bet my wife don't do that. I bet my wife doesn't sit me in the living room with my coffee cup in my chair and leave me there. I've heard family members who were getting Social Security from their parents. They let their parents die, and they leave them sitting in a chair until they are completely desiccated and gone, won't let anybody in the house, and then finally somebody steps into the house, and they see Grandpa's been dead for 5 years. And they leave them sitting in the living room. I don't imagine they'd do it the way I think my wife would try and do it, with a coffee cup in their hand. That, you know, if you're going to do it, let's do it upright. Put a coffee cup in your hand. Does anybody think that that's not weird? Does anybody think it's not weird? I think that's super creepy. Super, super, super creepy. And I think it's super, super, super creepy for us to realize that. Thanks for playing. Not you, stay here. Man, I feel it's a new year. I'm excited. I really do feel like God's going to do great things this year. But He's only going to do them if we follow the principles of the Word of God. Amen. You got to get up and live. And you got to walk in Christ. You can't walk in your old nature. You got to leave your old man behind. Amen. Jesus left the dead behind. Amen. But only when He came back, He raised that body. But the Bible says He changed that body. It's no longer the human body that it was that would see corruption if it was left in that state. It was transformed into a new body, a heavenly body. Amen. And that is the image of baptism and infilling of the Spirit, that you can walk a brand new life. He went through the process as an example. So we could see. I want to simplify this. He wanted you to see it. He didn't want just a word picture. He didn't say, well, someday off in the distant past, there was a man who died and was buried and rose again. And they say, oh, that's a parable. So the parables, some scholars say, aren't true. I doubt that that's correct. But anyway, this parable, that's a parable. And so it's not true. And so you learn a little lesson out of this cutesy parable, and that Jesus died and buried and rose again. It's a parable. Well, actually, the Bible says He rose again and He walked around. And actually, He brought out of death, He brought out of hell, or out of Sheol, He brought the saints of God. And the Bible said there was a lot of old people, amen, get up, old people. Come on, you can do it. You can resurrect. Come on, Jesus, help him resurrect. You can, would you help me, Tracy? Get up, old man. I wouldn't say that to you. lovely person that you are. Amen. But they went around with him. Now that had to be freaky. Jesus didn't just get up by himself, but they saw relatives. He led captivity captive. Amen. He took people out of hell with him. And they appeared around about as well. Went walking around with Jesus. I don't know if they were with him and hung out with him. Doesn't say they were in the upper room where they had the door closed and they were talking about Jesus. Jesus appeared. Doesn't say he had a crowd coming with him. But people saw dead people walking. Now that might be a little weird, and you don't hear that too often preached, but I'm telling you, you don't stay in the grave. You got to get up out of the grave. Amen. He's already shown us by his example that you can get up out of the grave, that you can walk around in a brand new life, in a brand new mind, with a brand new heart, and a brand new spirit. I ain't even through my scripture reading. You can be seated out there. Not you. I said out there. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of death, of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, he's not talking about someday, amen, but someday we're going to be resurrected from this earth, those that die in Christ. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. I want you to be crucified. What does that look like? Crucified with him. That you take your old sinful body, you take your old sinful self, and you nail it to your cross. And say, I'm not going to be that man anymore. I'm going to die out to my old man, and I want to be born a new man. I'm going to die out to my sins, and I want to walk a brand new life. So you take yourself, I can't take you to the cross. I can't nail you to the cross. I can't force you onto the cross. I'm just a preacher. That's all I am. I'm just a guy up here saying, you have the opportunity to, if you so choose. But you've got to choose it. We're not old-time Pentecost. We used to go to the pews and grab people and drag them to the altar. And you hear all kinds of horror stories from people that have been drugged to the altar that really didn't want to go to the altar. And they leave the church and they never come back, because we drug them to the altar when they didn't really want to come to the altar. They did because of the pressure, but they didn't because they wanted to come. And then they go online, and now they're testifying online. Well, they drug me to the altar, and they made me do this, and yada, yada, yada. I don't think that's the way we ought to do it. You have a chance to come to the altar and change your life forever. If you don't do that, it's not going to be our responsibility. We've offered you an opportunity to do so and to have a life change. Amen. But if you don't do that, then you take your life into your own hands. You say, well, I don't need to die. I don't need to be buried. And I don't need to be resurrected. And so you're going to be your own savior. Amen. Because if you're following Jesus Christ, you got to die. You got to be buried. And then you've got to be resurrected. And if you don't go through that, I mean, why in the world did he come to the earth and go through all of that stuff and got beat and slapped and spit on and beaten and tied to a pole and beaten in 39 stripes and all of the stuff that he went through? Why did he go through that if we don't have to go through that? If he wasn't showing us how it's got to be done and the process, and we don't have to go through the physical process, but he's trying to tell us there's a spiritual process, and I'm acting out a physical process that you can accomplish in a spiritual process by repenting of your sins, by being buried in his name, and being risen to walk a new life filled with the Spirit of God. Give me my notes back. Don't take my notes again. I knew I was going to go weird today. I just knew I was. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. That sin is no longer your boss. Doesn't have power over you, doesn't dominate you, can't force you. You don't have to listen to it, you don't have to obey. And I'm speaking to people. I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the people in our church. Listen, we've got meth addicts sitting here that are no longer meth addicts. We got drug dealers in our church that are no longer drug dealers. Amen. We have alcoholics in our church that are no longer alcoholics. Amen. How in the world did that happen? Because they followed the plan that God gave them, amen, to repent and be baptized and rise up and walk a new life. And you never have to go back to the old life again. It never can dominate you ever again. Amen. The enemy will come and he'll lie to you and tell you, amen, that's just your nature. That's just who you are. But he's a liar. He's a destroyer. Amen. Old man crucified. Body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Die. Hey, dead man, let's go get a cheeseburger. What do you say? Come on, let's go get a cheese. You're dead. He's going to ruin my sermon. Hey, there's a cute girl over there. She is a hottie. She's looking at you. She's blinking her eyes at you. Can't do nothing about it because you're dead. Dead men don't get up. Dead men don't eat. Dead men don't sin. Dead men don't sin. Dead men aren't bound by sin. They died unto sin. They're risen in Christ. I'm not saying you've never sinned after you've gotten baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. Because of our goofy minds and our goofy selves, we allow the devil to win. But I'm telling you, he's not your daddy. The devil ain't your daddy. Amen. He doesn't dominate you. He doesn't own you. Amen. You leave that life behind. If we be dead with Christ, we believe also, I'll let you back up. We shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death, I love this verse. Death has no. You know what dominion is? Dominion's dominance. Control. I know we have some folks in the room, you're control freaks. You want to control everybody's lives around you and your kids' lives and people's lives, and you think everybody ought to do it the way you do it. And I mean, y'all, we've had some control freaks I've talked with over the years. I think control freaks are hilarious because everybody's got to do it my way or else, oh no, it's a horrible, horrible existence. That's dominance. You know, the government, everybody has to take a shot or you can't go to work or you can't go to school or you can't. That's dominance. They actually got us to agree to be dominated, at least a majority of us. And in fact, they were saying in the media that we'd all get fired if we didn't take a shot. We ought to all. I mean, they were arresting single people walking on the beach for walking on the beach without a mask. That's dominance. That's control. Just so you understand, we don't have to go back to the 1500s to understand dominance. That's dominance and control. And when you die unto sin, sin doesn't have dominance. Man, I'm preaching a great pastoral sermon today. Come here, help me. If you look at Romans is a great book, a great book. Romans 8 says that, turn this way, that sin is like a big bull with a ring in his nose. And you know what? You generally go where your nose goes. My wife is mad at me right this second. And how do you get a 2,500-pound bull to go where you want it to go? You put a little ring in his nose, and then you clip to it, and when you pull it, this big beast of an animal will walk along behind you because he's learned, if I don't, there's going to be a little bit of pain. And the Bible says that's what sin is. Sin is a dominant force in your life, and it drives you to do what you don't want to do, and you do what you shouldn't be doing. Amen. You know to do good, but Paul said, I used to know to do good, but I wouldn't do good because evil was present with me, and I couldn't overcome the dominant one. I couldn't overcome his power in my life. I was influenced by his power. I was held by his power. I was directed by his power. But I'm telling you, and I'm here to preach it today, the dominance of the devil is over when you're in Christ. Amen. He no longer dominates you. He no longer holds sway in your life. Amen. You can release your life to Christ and he. Makes you do stupid. You can be seated, thanks. Stupid stuff. I wish Floydie were here. Floydie kind of was growing up in and out of church. His mom wept and cried and prayed and wept and cried and prayed. He'd come for a little bit and then leave and come for a little bit and leave. And he came and we thought, wow, he's really going to get it this time. Just to be frank, he's told the testimony. He got mad at his ex-wife. Went back to his old life a little bit, got rip-roaring drunk, jumped on a motorcycle he'd borrowed from a friend, took off down the road because he was mad. You know how men get, stupid. And he was mad. He's riding, bah, 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 down through Goshen, bah, and all of a sudden the police cuts in front of the cop. Bah, and they're woo woo woo, bah, he's gonna outrun him, bah, woo woo woo, and all the cops in Goshen are woo woo woo. He's doing over 100 miles an hour without a helmet, without anything, and wah, and all of a sudden he makes one slight mistake. He goes off the road, hits a culvert, and is launched into the air. And some 100 plus feet later, he lands with his face first into somebody's yard. He tore up the grass with his nose and teeth. They call me from the hospital. Help, come pray. I'm telling you what, I thought you and I were going to have a cry session. You did have a cry session. And I went into the hospital room, and he was talking to me. He has a cut on his lip, and if you look closely, there's a little place on the end of his nose where his nose was all messed up at the time, but just a little place where it was a cut, and I don't know exactly, but there's a little place on his nose, a little scar, his nose, right on the tip is a little goofy, right? A little something other. He ought to wear that proudly, because it is an absolute miracle that God saved him. He was in the meth. He was in the alcohol. He was trying to get out, but he hadn't really realized who he was yet. Hadn't really realized the power he had. And for whatever reason, God kept him alive. It wasn't the doctors. It wasn't the nurses. Amen. Because he only had really basically superficial damage. I mean, how in the world can you hit with your face at 100 plus miles an hour, launched off a motorcycle in somebody's front yard? How can you get through that without some kind of damage in his life? And he had some cuts, and he busted his lip, and several things got busted. But I'm telling you, amen, he's been living for God ever since that day. Amen. He all of a sudden realized, you know what? That's not who I'm supposed to be, and that's not who I'm ever going to be again. Amen. I'm going to try to live under the power of Jesus Christ, because I'm going to let the dead dog lie. Amen. I'm not going to get the dead dog up again and live the dead life any longer. I'm going to live my life in Christ. I'm going to believe in the power of God to resurrect me and to walk me and to fill me and to live through me. Amen. And I'm going to be. We're dead with Christ, verse 8. We believe we shall live also with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. This is how you ought to think about it. Listen, I can't do one single thing about the way you think about it if you're not willing to think about it. This is internal. I can't change your internal dialogue. I can't do a thing about what you say to yourself. I can't change it. I can't change what you say to yourself. I can't go into your brain and pull out the old thoughts and put in a thought the way you ought to think about it. Amen. But it says he does. It says he literally takes it out. Amen. You're now alive unto Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Who's in control of whether sin reigns in your body? Look, who's this talking to? Who's the let not sin? Who is it? Who is it? You. You don't let sin. You live for God. You put Christ in your mind. You put his word in your heart. Amen. Hide the word of God in your heart that I might not sin against him. Amen. If you're wrestling with something and you're wrestling with something in your life and the enemy's saying, well, you're going to have to wrestle with me. I'm always going to be here. No, it's not true. Amen. You can push back against the enemy and you can say, no, the word of God says, I don't have to live bound the old way. I don't have you as dominant over my life. Amen. I'm going to let Christ dominate my life. Keep your mind stayed on him. Amen. Ain't he good? What a wonderful Savior he is. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Now listen, I gotta quit in the next hour or so. If you're listening to and singing along with, your cheating heart will make you blue. If that's what you're singing, achy, breaky heart. I'm trying to think of some worldly songs, but I can't right this second. So what is it you're listening to that you shouldn't be listening to? Name me a song. That's a trap. Some of you started to blurt it out. Honestly, what you sing, what do you say in the shower? Nobody around. What do you sing? What do you sing when you drive? What do you think about when you walk? What do you think about at night? When you lay down? I'm just telling you what our Psalms 1 says. I'm just talking about what the Word of God says. Bind the Word of God on your heart. When you lay down, when you get up, when you talk to your kids, amen, when you live your life, I live my life in Christ. Now I do stuff. I do technical stuff. I do counseling stuff. I do friend stuff. I do helping stuff. I do stuff. But in all the stuff that I do, wrapped in Christ. That's what he says. Amen. Let not sin therefore reign, control, dominate. It's not the king of me in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Wow. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Wow. Is this preacher telling you that God can make a spring in a desert? You see, sometimes people come to God and say, well, I've lived this way all of my life. I've had dryness all of my life. Everywhere I look in my life, it's been sand and sand and sand. And there's no water. There's no rivers. There's no kindness. There's no love. There's no mercy. Amen. I've lived in the wilderness. I've lived in difficulty. I've lived in trial. I've lived in heartache. I've lived in confusion. I've lived in fear. Amen. Then you've come to a good place. Amen. Because in this place, God can spring up a river in the desert. God could spring up a well in your soul. God can change the very nature of your environment. Amen. God can create a new creature in Christ. Amen. And everything changes. Listen, when a well pops up out of the ground, everything around that well changes. When you pump water into the desert, it's amazing how much the desert flourishes. Boy, in the spirit, I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall right this second. And y'all look like you're hungry. The gospel, the good news, never changes. Amen. His old song, oh how he loves you and me. Oh how he loves you and me. He gave his life, how much more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Stand with me, would you? It's a new year. Over the next 40 days, I'm going to ask us to find some time you can fast. There's an effort going to fast 40 days. Several in our church in the fall of the year started 40-day fasts. I'm not sure. You can go down. Thank you very much. Good job, David. Good job being a dead man. And I've fasted myself 40 days over the years. And I'm not asking you to take on a 40-year fast. If you've never fasted before, try fasting lunch. Just lunch. I spent a lot of time in the last week thinking about us, praying about us. I really feel the Lord in a new way. Amen. And I think God's going to do a great work this year. But we're going to have to walk into it in the Spirit. Is anything that's kind of collected in your pockets that you've been carrying around that you shouldn't carry? Join us in fasting. Pull some things out that you're not going to be able to carry into God's presence. You're not going to be able to carry into answered prayers. You're not going to be able to carry into miracles. Jesus told his disciples, Only by prayer and fasting can some things be released. And so I'm calling to us. I don't have a list for you to sign up. I probably ought to have a sign-up sheet out there in the lobby so you can write down your commitment. Amen. But let's do it the new technical way. Reach in your pocket, pull out your phone. Reach in your pocket, pull out your phone. Open up your calendar. Today's the 5th. Tomorrow's the 6th. 4th. I'm way ahead of y'all. Just hold on to your phone. Have your calendar open. Now, I want us to pray. I want God to talk to you about a time, a meal, a day, or a three-day fast, or a week, some fasting in this next 40 days. I want you to put it on your calendar in a minute, not now. And I want you to set an alarm. I want you to remind yourself, because it's just so easy. We get going so fast, we forget. And I want you to repeat it for the next, 40 days? 6 weeks? Let's pray though. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. God, we want newness. Fresh touch of the Lord in our church. God, we want revival. We want babes born. We want the waters of baptism troubled. Amen. We want demons to flee. I pray, God, that you would help us. Amen. We're going to fast and pray. God, and make sure our hearts are right. Make sure our lives are clean. I pray, God, that you would speak to each of us. Amen. In Jesus' great name. Amen. Help us, God, to commit to you. I pray in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, right where you're at, with this spirit of prayer, whatever the Lord told you to do, I want you to put it right now in your calendar. Just title it fast every Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Do it 3 days one time and one day a week the rest of the time. Whatever God tells you to do. Don't look around. Don't ask everybody else. It's none of anybody else's business. I'm not even looking to see if you're typing. Put a reminder in it. Remind me an hour before this is supposed to start that I'm not going to eat. Put a 7 a.m. alarm if you're going to do it all day. If you get up at 6:30, put a 7 a.m. You choose to fast, you can fast and just eat vegetables. You can put away meat. You can put away pop and sweets. I mean, there's so many different fasts, and I don't have time to talk about all of those. Most of us are very familiar, and so I'm shorthanding it. I know I am. Amen. But do something. Do this in faith. Amen. That God renews. That God restores. That God purifies. Amen. Let's commit to that this year. We want a real, true move of God. We have a gentleman coming from Israel, and what a story he's going to tell. And there could be hundreds of people here. They're inviting, they've invited every church within 50 miles to come on that night. I don't know if we'll have an abundance. We may end up putting people in the basement. We're trying to get that figured out in order to have enough seats. Amen. I think that's going to be a tremendous opportunity to meet and greet people. We want to agree and partner with Israel. We don't have to agree with everything they do, but we want to say yes to Jerusalem. Amen. Now we get to where we close. If you've not been baptized, talk to me. Talk to Pastor Isaac. Sit down. If you don't understand it, we didn't make it clear, you don't understand why or how or what, or sit down, let's have a conversation. We're easy to talk to. We'll be happy to show you what the Bible says. Amen. If you don't understand the Holy Ghost, let's sit down and have a conversation. Amen. I know I overdo it. I want to teach a Bible study right here on that subject, but I'm not going to. God's got a world for you of walking in the Spirit, not bound by your old you, not dominated by your mistakes or your misunderstandings. Amen. But you can walk in the Spirit. Everybody in the room believe that. I want us to pray. Join hands with somebody. And I know not everybody enjoys this part, but join hands with somebody. And I want us to pray. Let's start the year off in a few moments here. Amen. Let's pray the Spirit would have its way through all of us. God, bind us together, God. In the name of the Lord. God, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit. Amen. God, that we would live in the Spirit. God, that we would be unbound by our flesh, unbound by the dominant one. I pray, God, that we yield ourselves to you. Amen. That your Spirit lives and walks and breathes through us. I pray in the name of the Lord. God, make us ambassadors for Christ, a light in a dark world, I pray. Amen. Let your light shine, God, not my light. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God, we're undefeated when we walk with you. We're undefeated when we're led by you. We're undefeated, God. Amen. In the spirit world, I pray, God, that you would help us. Amen. Anoint us, God. Amen. Bind us together, God. Let us be unified in Christ, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He loves you.
Sing it with him.
And me.
Amen.
He gave his life.
How much more could he give?
Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Come on, let's sing it again. Hallelujah.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Amen.
Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life.
How much more could
you and me.
Sometimes it really is as simple as saying, you know what, this brick that I've been carrying in my pocket doesn't belong to me, and I'm not going to carry it anymore. Amen. The enemy says, I got to carry it around. I ain't carrying it around. I'm going to throw it away with the junk. It's not moving me forward in Christ. It's trying to keep me back, and I'm not going to carry it. Amen. Let's use these next 40 days not just to throw away our bricks in our pockets. Amen. But to move into the dominance of the Spirit, so God dominates us, and then God uses us in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, man, that's the reason I like coming to church. I'm challenged.